Moncrief on News Talk.
There's Herbie, James Bond, and of course Back to the Future. Just three films where the cars got to star as much as the human actors. Paddy Cumming from Dundee Cars is here to run through a few of them. Good afternoon, Paddy.
Hello, Sean.
Because I suppose the James Bond cars are the most famous cars.
Yeah, the James Bond films have given us two of the most famous. So the Aston Martin DB5, which was the iconic car, which a lot of people remembered. There's an interesting story to two of those cars. So one of those cars were made for the road sequences, and that ended up in a private museum in Cincinnati. But the second one, there's a big mystery about where it is. No one knows where it is. So it passed through various hands. It was bought by a collector and sold at Sotheby's in New York for about $250,000 in 1986 by a collector. That collector had it in a warehouse, and it was one night stolen, dragged out by the axles, tire marks pulled out, and to this day no one knows where it is. They think it's in the Middle East. It's worth $25 million, and
no.
The rumor is that it's in a collector who has thousands and thousands of Astons and Ferraris. It may even be mounted on a wall. So that car has never been seen since.
How appropriate for a James Bond car. And you know what, in that particular car, because it wasn't not just a cool car, but it had the number plates spun and the guns came out and smoke.
Exactly.
Were they real things in the car?
There were real props on the car. Obviously, they didn't do exactly what they were doing, but they had those real props in the car. So the road car, the props car was stolen, and that has never been seen since. Now, there's props on the other one that's in the museum in Cincinnati. It's a private museum in Cincinnati, but that car is a mystery.
Yeah.
And the Lotus, which the Lotus was my favourite. I grew up, I was a Roger Moore, James Bond fan, and the Lotus in that film, the S1, Elon Musk owns that car. And he has the he has the Wet Nelly, as it was called, which was the underwater version that that ended up in. It was cost about $100,000 to make at the time. It was left in a warehouse again, and somebody bought it in a blind auction. You know, one of these, like, I'll just buy the contents of the warehouse for $100.
And they didn't realize what they
were getting. And they got Wet Nelly, which was the car. It went to, and Elon Musk later bought it for $1 million. Lotus, the other car, which was used in the road, actually put the car back on the production line. So they just sort of put it back in the production line at the time because they didn't have a huge amount of them, and it ended up being sold on as a normal car. But there was a really interesting story about Lotus, how they got the car into the film at the time. The PR guy at the time, absolute PR masterclass, just drove it down, left it outside the production studios where James Bond was being made, and left it there.
Yeah.
And the crowd gathered and they thought this was fabulous. And the producer went, that car has to be in the film. So, yeah.
Okay.
Pure masterclass. So,
I think you do see it going into the sea and coming out of the sea. That's the Wet Nelly version.
The Wet Nelly version was the one where the underwater sequences was basically, it was driven by scuba divers. It was definitely not watertight. It let in a lot of water, but they would have driven some into the water. Those cars would have been absolutely ruined. And they had one for coming out as well. But the Wet Nelly, which is the one, and apparently Elon Musk commented that he was very disappointed that it didn't transform at the time.
Poor Baba.
Poor Elon.
And would Lotus have made all those different iterations of the car?
Now, Lotus would have made those two cars that were on the road. There was another company in Florida who made the actual underwater car, the Wet Nelly car, which had various motors on it to allow it to go through the water. So yeah, that was that one.
A lot of people are voting for the James Bond Aston Martin. Top three movie TV cars have to be number three, Magnum's Ferrari 308 GTB. Second, Bullitt's Type 2 Ford Mustang from the movie Bullitt. And the first is James Bond.
I mean, Magnum was a TV show.
A few votes for Bullitt, actually.
Yeah, Bullitt was extraordinary. That was a Ford Mustang Steve McQueen was very particular about which cars were in it. They had put special exhausts on it, and though he did attempt to buy that car later on in life, but it was owned by a collector as well, so he didn't get a chance to do that.
Yeah. Now, in Back to the Future, and I know that in Back to the Future, everyone went, oh my God, it's a DeLorean, it's an Irish. But it was the use of a DeLorean. I always thought it was a slight joke that they were using, because DeLoreans were a bit of a joke in that, you know, the company went bust so quickly.
Yeah, so the Back to the Future film, apparently the Robert Zemeckis intended to use a fridge as the time machine at the start, a refrigerator, but it was deemed that it wasn't dynamic enough. So yeah, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek to use the DeLorean, but they thought, look, it was, I think there was talk about a Ford Mustang, but they said, you know, Doc Brown wouldn't drive that, so that he'd need to be in a DeLorean. So yeah, at the time of production, DeLorean were just about going out of business because Mr. DeLorean had been obviously found in a hotel room trying to sell drugs to the FBI. So that became obviously an iconic car. There were several cars used in the production of that, one of which is in the Peterson Automotive Museum. Another one was destroyed in Back to the Future 3 when the train hit it. There were six in total, and some of them were various different shells, but the one perfect one, the Hero A car, as it's called, is in the Peterson Museum in Los Angeles.
And was it a good car?
Awful.
Oh.
I was one of those ones. I remember being, when I started off as a motoring journalist, I remember saying, oh, I always wanted to drive a DeLorean. And it was one of those real don't meet your heroes. It was totally underpowered. It felt like it was nailed together quite badly. But look, a beautiful looking car. At the time, it was $60,000 or something crazy in the United States. There's some great documentaries on the DeLorean story, but an absolute car crash, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I suppose people maybe were just buying it for the doors.
Look cool, but they had skimped even on how the struts to open those, so they were a bit wonky as well. Yeah, total failure.
Oh, God. Now, people would remember Ronin and you know, cool hit people driving around Europe, but you wouldn't think an Audi was, you know, a cool car in a film.
Yeah, this is one of my favourite car chase films, I suppose, if you call it. I mean, it's one of those ones. It was a good film, Robert De Niro, Jean Reno, but the car sequence in it is extraordinary. And the director wanted regular looking cars. They didn't want anything too crazy. The Audi S8 was a really subtle, discreet performance car. So it was big, it was very, very powerful. And they destroyed a total of 80 cars during the production of that film. What they wanted with that was no CGI, no special effects. It was all real driving. And when you watch the film, you'll see that the sequences, especially when Robert De Niro is driving, it was a right-hand drive car, but they had a left-hand drive of him steering. And he looks absolutely terrified because all those sequences were done out in the road, out in the streets, but absolutely one of the best sequences of a car chase. It goes on for ages. There's so many cars destroyed, and what I like about it is they're kind of regular cars that they're using, but a real car lovers film.
Yeah, and there were stunt people driving the cars.
Oh, absolutely.
Not Robert De Niro.
No, but I mean, he probably wanted to have a go, but no, I think they had brilliant stunt drivers in that, but absolute classic film. So anyone who loves a car chase should watch it.
And I would Audi have been on board with this, really? Because they were probably trying to sell Audis to kind of middle-ranking
managers. In the olden days, manufacturers were very fussy about it. These days, they will absolutely throw anything at any film. So no, they weren't on board with that. All those cars were regular cars, just used. And none of those were ever really seen again. So it's not a case that we could say, oh, that's in a museum here, there, ever. Oh, none of those cars have been traced. They're probably just knocking around somewhere, one careful owner.
Yeah. Someone said, I had a toy, one of the James Bond cars, the white one that went into the water. There was a button on it that released fins out of the side of the car when pressed. It's the only toy that I wish I still had.
You can still buy them. They've never stopped selling them. But the Aston Martin one, I think everyone had. There was two little missiles that came out of the back and everyone lost them on day one.
Yes. They were hoovered up. Anyway, Paddy, thanks a million for coming into us. That was Paddy Cumman there, Head of Automotive Content and Communications with Dundeal Cars.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.